All right, welcome back to the show. We are joined now by a comedy legend, John Cleese. You can see him and his daughter Camilla in Comedy with the Cleeses, an evening with John and Camilla Cleese at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy tomorrow. John, Camilla, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm not a legend anymore. It's an understandable mistake, but I was promoted to icon. On Wednesday.
Go ahead.
Legends are mostly dead anyway, aren't they?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, no, what was that, Camilla?
Oh, I just said legends are usually dead, aren't they?
I'm barely there.
Yeah, I think you kind of are iconic. All right, let's start this. The father-daughter thing is really funny, and it's really a great idea. Tell us about the show.
Well, it happened entirely. Working together happened by accident. Because I was fed up with Hollywood and their ignorance about scripts. And then somebody said, would you like to tour New Zealand and with your own show? And I thought, not only can I be in charge of the show, if it's in New Zealand, it doesn't matter if it's terribly bad because no one will ever hear about it. Come on, Lord, you must come to New Zealand and have some fun. And I thought at that stage, you might sort of be an extra. The next thing I knew, she was writing material with me, including two pieces of material that we use in the show now. This is 15 years ago. And not only did she go on and do a monologue and get it completely right, the first time she'd ever been in front of an audience, she then had the bloody nerve about 20 minutes later, just after I'd done my monologue, she gave me a note.
What are you going to do?
So this, I think what charms the audience is the complete disrespect that we show for each other.
Well, so then, John, did you know what you were getting into? Like, did you know she was going to be a natural at this?
No, I didn't. I knew she was funny, but I had no idea she was going to be a natural performer. And, you know, she's got, I mean, going out to nightclubs and getting out in front of different audiences. Comedy clubs, I'm sorry.
I'm not a stripper.
Not at her height, no. 6'1", if you can believe. When you look at this, 12'5" on stage. That's quite a lot of money. It's got a lot of pleas to get for your money.
Yeah.
So after that, we worked together. And she's written a very, very good sitcom, and I've helped a little bit. And we very frequently do showings of Holy Grail, and then afterwards she goes on and we chat and she takes questions from the audience, because now, you know, if you're in a big theater trying to get microphones to people's difficult. Now she just sits there with an iPad and takes texted questions from the audience, so that works well.
Wow. We tried it that way once and it didn't go that well. We take note cards, just handwritten ones, because
that's what we're doing tonight.
If people can text during the show, it can be a little bit
but it's in a big house. I mean, in a small house you can also take questions from the audience, and I prefer playing to smaller audiences. Of course, producers don't like that because it doesn't bring in so much money, but there's an intimacy about working in a comedy club. And that's lovely for the audience, because you kind of trust the audience, and there's no PC people there because they couldn't stand the spontaneity and all the joy, you know.
Right.
So you can just be completely spontaneous, and Camilla and I never know what's going to happen next, you know?
Yeah,
Camilla, I read a great piece, I think it was in The Guardian, and you had just some hilarious lines in the piece, and one of the things that jumped out at me was you thought it was perfectly normal for every kid to grow up with a famous comedian as a father. You just thought that was normal, right?
Well, I didn't really know he was a comedian. It's weird, I didn't even know what acting was until I was a lot older than I think most people are when they figure it out. I just thought everyone's parents were on TV, because my mom was, she did some movies as well. And
she was in the original Rollerball.
Yeah, and she did some news reporting. And my stepbrother, their biological father, was a professional golfer, so he was on TV too. And so it was just kind of a place where parents existed.
When she met someone whose parents were not on television, she couldn't understand what they could be doing with her.
Right, right.
My earliest memory, I think, is him being dangled out of a window on a fish called Wanda and being quite angry about that and escorted off set. Because you don't understand that it's not real when you're that age.
And I was sitting next to her at a showing, a screening of Terry Jones's film, which I'd played a small part in, and I was the villain, and I was killed at the end by a huge galleon, a huge sail ship, landing right on top of me. And when I was sitting next to Camilla, and she gasped with terror and stared at the screen, and then there was a moment, and she looked at me and realized I wasn't dead.
And I was very
oh, that's a great story. Now, you brought up that scene because I'm a freak for Fish Called Wanda. When Otto held you upside down outside that window, what about that magic that you were able to capture with Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Palin and Kevin Kline that just was, I mean, it was legendary, the all of those performances.
Sometimes you're on a movie and God smiles on it, and other times he turns his back like Fierce Creatures, and everybody has their own personal problems which you hadn't anticipated. But that was lovely. I mean, I've always wanted to work with Kevin. I thought he was extraordinary the first time I ever saw him in Sophie's Choice, and then I discovered he did a lot of comedy. He'd been wonderfully insane in Pirates of Penzance, and I happened to be going to Australia, and a friend put us, we had dinner together, and I just thought, I have to work with this guy. And of course, I want to work with Michael, because I've always loved performing with him. It's like being with Camilla, it's just sort of we're evenly matched, so we always have a good game. And then I saw Jamie in Trading Places, and before she'd taken her T-shirt off,
thought, oh, how noble of you.
It was thinking, but look at the energy.
Not entirely. Okay.
She, look at the energy she brings to the screen. And I said to everyone, oh, who is she? And they said, oh, she's the scream queen. She does all the John Carpenter movies, which are not movies I'm familiar with. And I met her, and everyone said she's lovely. So on her day off, she'll bring pizza for the crew. So I thought, well, I like that atmosphere, because if people acting together help each other and make suggestions, then something very special happens. In America, what can happen is that each actor arrives on the set with his performance already pre-packed in a box. And there's a little bit less interplay and a little bit less, could you do this? Because it would help that line if you did that. Americans or actors often feel that their performance or someone else's performance is sort of their territory and one mustn't cross the boundary. And we just had a wonderful time, and it worked superbly. And then I tried to do it again with Fierce Creatures. I was trying to make a movie that parents would be able to watch with their children, but everyone assumed it was going to be like Wanda, so it got a lot of criticism for what it was not.
You should tell them the story about where the idea for Wanda came from.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'd been working for years with a wonderful old director in his 70s. One of the great comedies, great British comedies, called The Lavender Hill Mob in the mid-50s. And he was very aged, and I loved him. And I said to him, Charlie, we've got to make a movie together. And when we sat down, he said, do you have any ideas? And I said, I only have one. I want someone with a bad stutter, played by Michael Palin, his dad had a bad stutter, to be trying to get information out that's really important and really urgent, and he can't get a word out. Charlie said, all right, he said, I want to run someone over with a steamroller.
Start. Wow.
It's in, really.
John, just, I mean, with everything you've done in the world of comedy and that you're still doing, I mean, what is there, are there certain things you still watch, or what makes John Cleese laugh at this point?
I'm afraid after you've done comedy for about 50 years, you pretty much know what people are going to do. And the great delight is to suddenly see a performer who's just does something a bit special. Dwayne Perkins, for example. I saw him in a nightclub twice recently.
Comedy club.
Sorry.
He's not a stripper either.
No. And it's just very refreshing because suddenly the guy is making me howl with laughter because it's just a little bit different, a little bit classier than what you usually see. And there's a lot of good stand-ups. But it doesn't happen. You know, when I was in my 20s, I discovered W.C. Fields and Buster Keaton and Harold Lloyd. You don't get that kind of revelation at my age. I mean, there's an enormous amount of good, funny people around, but they're mainly in stand-up. And the kind of comedy I love is to do with beautifully crafted scripts, you know, where the scripting, where the structuring of the script is skillful, and you don't get that now. The great old comedies you used to get in America, they were all written by guys who lived in New York originally and understood the structure. Comedy sketches, comedy scenes, and they would set a joke up, and then the joke, the punchline would come, you know, 5 minutes later or five scenes later. Whereas now they set something up and do the joke straight away. So there's no real class to the structuring. So written comedy, I don't think is very good at the moment.
Well, guys, this has been a real, real treat for us. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get the word out. Hopefully everybody, for whatever tickets are left, can scoop those up and come and see this great performance between you two. Thank you so much for your time
today. It's like watching John Cleese and Michael Palin together, except taller.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, he is a tiny little chap, isn't he?
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.